You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Cynthia, welcome in.
How are you?
Oh, hi. I'm doing okay. A lot going on. A lot to process. Breaking news every second. Obviously, when it comes to sports, it's all about Cam Newton. And the fact that, and you broke the news to me this morning when you text me, Cam Newton, COVID-19 positive. Your thoughts on the Patriots moving forward, Brian Hoyer, Stidham, everything that I'm hearing, I'm reading, is that it will be more Brian Hoyer if they do play on Monday or Tuesday night. And what's the latest? What are you hearing, Cynthia?
You know, I would be very mindful about overestimating if the game's going to be played. I just think out of an abundance of caution, because what we saw with the Titans, you know, they keep having more and more players testing positive. So I just would be let's all be extra careful. I mean, so I haven't heard very much. I've heard the same thing as you about more Hoyer than Stidham, just because of his veteran status and ability to kind of adapt and his ability to read defenses and understand how to execute the game plan. Brian Hoyer's been on that team multiple times for multiple years. So it's just a bit more of a comfort level thing. But I don't know. I don't know if I'd be planning on that game played or not. I have no inside information beyond what I believe will be, you know, an abundance of care.
On the Kansas City side, now Chiefs practice squad quarterback Jordan Ta'amu tested positive. And, you know, you and I both cover the NFL for quite a while. We know how, even though he's a practice squad guy, he practices with the quarterbacks. He's in the quarterback room with the quarterbacks. On a level 1 to 10, you know, how concerning is it that Patrick Mahomes was around this young man and very, very well could have been exposed?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's concerning all around. I think the good news about, you know, the practice squad situation is I do think that there is I do believe that, you know, the protocols have been very strongly followed. And I do believe that because he was on the practice squad, the chances of him touching things or the contract tracing that could have put him close to other players, you know, it was probably far more limited to the practice squad than it was. And the good news is right, like, you know, he plays against the defense and not against the offense. So to me, the interesting part about that will be, you know, let's see if anyone else has it. And by the way, we still have, you know, we have to see exactly how many people were in contact with him, because, you know, they wear those watches that show, they're not watches, they're, you know, they look like watches, they wear them on their wrists, and it shows who's been around him. And, you know, it does do a job of the contact tracing is real. They do know. So we'll have to see who he was around.
Cynthia, as you know, because we're here in New York, I do want to kind of dive into what's going on with the Giants and the Jets. And let's start with the Jets, because they did play on Thursday night. And, you know, you have your finger on the pulse of this franchise better than most. I can understand them losing to the Bills and the 49ers and the Colts, but a Denver Broncos team with a third string quarterback with a ton of injuries coming in, and guys were dropping like flies during the game. Very disappointing that the Jets are 0-4 right now as opposed to 1-3. Not that makes a big difference in the grand scheme of things, but very, very disappointing performance on Thursday nights. Your thoughts?
You know, I think that the defense and those defensive penalties were such a really big hole to try to dig yourself out of. They were unacceptable, and that is the whole thing seems like a very unsustainable situation. From this, there's things in that you can control, and there's things that you can't control. The injuries you cannot control. I mean, for in large part, you cannot control injuries. And second, you cannot control, you know, the situations that we all find ourselves in with COVID. This year is all about flexibility and being able to be, you know, open and able to adapt to anything. And the Jets injuries are just the list of injuries and non-playing players that they had expected due to COVID opt-outs is just super long. And that's very difficult. And I understand, you know, you bring someone literally in off of the street. His name is Lamar Jackson. Like, how is he supposed to know what to do? Right. Like, I don't, it's very difficult. the whole thing is very difficult, right? So, but there are things that are unacceptable, like the defensive penalties were just way too much. And you dig yourself into that kind of hole, and even Sam Darnold with the 46-yard rushing touchdown, which was amazing, can't dig you out of it.
Moving forward, bigger picture, you know, there's a chance that either the Giants or the Jets get the number one pick in this year's NFL draft. And I know, you know, you're big at the combine. You're there. You know a lot about these players. You're really tied into the draft. If you were Joe D and you had the opportunity of, or even Dave Gettleman, and you had the opportunity of drafting Trevor Lawrence, would you make that call, or would you try to trade that number one pick? Do you have enough belief in Sam Darnold and Daniel Jones moving forward that you would pass on Trevor Lawrence if you were either GM?
Well, this is going to be an interesting defining moment for both of their careers, right? If that happens to either. The problem is Trevor Lawrence is like every other college quarterback in the sense of, we do not know how he will translate to the NFL. This time last year, we didn't know Joe Burrow would be the number one overall draft pick. This time 2 years ago, we did not know, you know, it kind of seems like who is beloved early in the football season, college football season, and who ends up being the first round draft pick or the first draft pick taken, like that evolves over the course of the college season. This season, more than any other season, there's going to be so much timing and strangeness, you know, with the Big Ten starting later. And, you know, because Justin Fields could easily be the top guy. So if the question is it Trevor Lawrence that you want to tank for or whatever, tank for Trevor, whatever, or if it's an opportunity to cultivate and develop a quarterback in your system that you chose. Now, that could be different strategies for either one, because Dave Gettleman did choose Daniel Jones, whereas, you know, Joe Douglas did not choose Sam Darnold. So some people have to take their strategy, and some people have to take, you know, what's given to them. So there's a lot of unknowns still left to be had. And I think for the question for the Jets will become, does Joe Douglas and this and the Jets brass, do they want to cultivate their guy, right, who they would have picked, or do they want to stick with Sam? I think that will be the question for the Jets. And for the Giants, it will be like, is Daniel Jones, you know, our future, or do we want to take a chance on, and it's an unknown entity no matter what. And Daniel Jones looked great. I think that, you know, it's very hard to say with certainty what we have in Daniel Jones, or even what you have in Sam Darnold for that matter. But, you know, Sam has had longer time in the league to show who he is or who he isn't, and, you know, whereas Daniel Jones really hasn't.
Interesting. In regard to the Giants, they head out your way. Again, Cynthia Freeland joining us from 98 points from the NFL Network here on 98.7 ESPN. They're taking, and you should be employed here. You're on with me every Saturday. So they're taking on the Rams. I love what Sean McVay has done here, and how he's really put together and is really calling phenomenal plays and great schemes and game plan for Goff, who is really benefiting from a lot of play action. I think the Giants are in over their heads, and the spread is 13.5. It's a lot, but how do you see this game playing out, Cynthia?
I think this is a Sean McVay get right situation. 13.5 seems like a lot, but I don't think it will. I think it will be a situation where, unfortunately, it is a lopsided victory in favor of the Rams. Not because I don't think the Giants are good or whatever. I think the Giants are injured. The Giants are young. The Giants have a lot of confusion. I think there's going to be, you know, this is the Rams want to make a statement this year. They want to. This is the NFC West is the most competitive division in football, in my opinion, and the math bears it out. So I think they're going to want to, after what happened with the Bills and that weird situation, they're going to want to work on a fast start. A fast start is going to be what differentiates them in this division and in the league. So, unfortunately, I think that this might be a game with all the injuries and Jabril Peppers and all the things that are not there. I think that's where the Rams kind of look to get right in early.
It's so you don't mind laying the double digits, huh? It's 13. It's a lot, man.
It's a lot.
Wow. Okay.
I think they need to get that fast start going, because, you know, what killed them last game is a very slow start. They couldn't get pressure on Josh Allen in the first half at all. Totally different in the second half, but in the first half they could not.
Interesting. Again, Cynthia Freeland, join us here on 98.7 ESPN. All right, Cynthia, before we move on to fantasy, really quick, what's your favorite play heading? Because I'm looking at the board right now. I'm looking at the spreads. There's just nothing. Like, my favorite play is Seattle and Miami in the over. It's probably my favorite play. But what does that say? That I like that I'm not on like a point spread. I'm on an over under total, right? Like, there's nothing right. That screams out to me like, you know, I feel like exceptionally great about this play. Is there one on the board for you this week?
I like a Jags upset. I think the Jags upset.
Really?
The Bengals.
Minshew mania.
Minshew mania continues. I think part of that is so obviously if I like an upset, I like the fact that if you get any sort of point advantage with the Jags, I think you should be on it. I mean, Joe Mixon just turned up on the injury report. That's concerning. I think that, you know, James Robinson's emergence as a true RB1 is really what's going to solidify a nice win. And like Gardner Minshew hasn't actually taken a passing attempt while they've had a lead. Isn't that crazy? Of his 108 passing attempts, zero have occurred while they've been leading, which has been hilarious to me. And like eight of them have occurred while they've been tied. It's crazy. So that's a strange sort of kind of set of circumstances. I think it's interesting, you know, to keep it really safe for them. That obviously is a function of, you know, if they've been winning or losing or whatever, right? But like, you know, they had to come from behind to beat the Colts. But I think this defense will, the Bengals defense will be generous to James Robinson. And I think that will mean a nice win for the Jacks.
You know, very interesting. I underestimated how important DJ Chark is to that offense, and I think a big reason why we saw Gardner Minshew not do well on his last Thursday night game was because of no DJ Chark, and apparently he gets him back this week. So, yeah. By the way, the money line on that is plus 120. FYI for folks out there. who are listening. As always, we end the segment with you talking some fantasy and who your sleepers are. So as always, let's start at the quarterback position. There's quite a few sleepers I like. And let me tell you something. I don't think there was ever a more important week, Cynthia, for you to share with us what your quarterback sleepers are, considering how COVID-19 is affecting the NFL. You know, you've got the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Titans now on a bye. That definitely puts people in a pickle. And really, I'm curious to find out, you know, in regard to, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs and the Patriots, you know, when we opened up the show, you said, don't count your chickens, you know, just yet. There's still a chance that game might not even be played on Monday or Tuesday. So sleepers and guys that potentially are still available on the waiver wire are really crucial right now for our listeners. So who are your sleepers in regard to the quarterback position?
So if possible, I would look for a little Fitz magic in this one, not because I don't think that Seattle's going to win, but I think there's going to be a lot of points. I'm with you that there's going to be a nice amount of points scored. Remember, Jamal Adams is not playing, and he's in kind of their like lead like pass rusher, which is kind of strange out of the safety position, but he's a good pressure generator, we'll call it that. So he's not playing, and that's a big deal. And so I think some Fitz magic would be great. You can target people on this offense to kind of make the most of that, right? Like Mike Gesicki at the tight end, of course, but you know, that would be good. I also think if Baker Mayfield's available, I think that's a good one. The Cowboys have given up 7 passing touchdowns, which is the most in the NFL. So I think Baker and maybe Odell Beckham Jr. will have a nice strong showing against a Cowboys secondary that's, yikes, not so great. So those are my two favorite ones.
Okay. At the running back position.
Okay. So running back position. All right. So Jeff Wilson. I want to make my case for Jeff Wilson. The Niners, all they do is run, right? Like, they are great at figuring out the running situation. So this is someone who is possibly available to actually pick up, right? I could tell you Myles Gaskin, but you can't go get him. I could tell you, you know, a number of other players, you probably can't go get them. But I would look at Jeff Wilson of the Niners, or if possible, if somehow people forgot to draft Latavius Murray somehow, that's a good one as well.
Interesting. Okay. Okay, so at the wide receiver position, who are you looking at?
So I, you know, look, you want to try to, like, Scotty Miller is probably a good one. Chris Godwin out in the Tampa Bay offense, like throwing the ball a lot. But is he available? That one's tricky too. I don't know. But T. Higgins is probably available. And I told you I like the Jags to win that game, which means I do have Joe Burrow passing late in the game, which means T. Higgins, who obviously, you know, look, he's their number two, right? John Ross was a healthy scratch last week. So T. Higgins could get some extra looks this week.
T. Higgins, I like that. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at, like, what are your thoughts on, like, for example, like DeSean Jackson is out. I think you know, not that I'm high on Carson Wentz at all, but, like, you know, what about Greg Ward in that Sunday night game against San Francisco?
Yeah. I definitely think Greg Ward is worth having a look at for sure.
Yeah.
I just don't like the Philadelphia Eagles offense, right? Carson Wentz has the most turnovers. What, 6 turnovers so far? That's tough sledding when you're really, you know, obviously it could mean more volume, but it could also mean like a lot of mayhem, right? So sure, Greg Ward Jr., sure, go ahead. Yes, of course. And Emmanuel Sanders, sure. Yes, of course. Traquan Smith, yes, of course. You know, we want to take those guys who are injury replacement sort of darlings as well.
One guy, and wide receiver wise, I want to mention to you before we move on to tight ends, and that's Justin Watson. Because as you said, you know, no Godwin for Tom Brady, he's out. Scotty Miller is dealing with a hip and a groin. So I've been hearing a lot of buzz on Justin Watson. I don't know a lot about him. Do you?
You know, I don't. I mean, I do. I've watched a bunch of film. I don't know how they plan to use him. I don't know how all of those things. That one seems a little risky. You know, just risky in general. But again, no risk it, no biscuit. So if you like a good risk, like, you could look to him. You could look. I'm all about it. I'm all over it. Like, you're totally good. Like,
you're all about the biscuit. You're all about the biscuit. No risk it, no biscuit. Oh, I love that. That's a new hashtag. I love it. All right. Last but not least, your tight end. Who? Give me some tight end sleepers.
Well, you got your Mike Gesicki, of course, but I don't know if he's available to many people. Mo Alley Cox, again, is, I don't like the Bears defense, but that is one you could look at. You could also look, it depends on how deep you want to go. I have TJ Hockenson getting a touchdown, which is great, but he might not be available in your league as well. If he is, go snag him. Absolutely snag him. So those are kind of like my certain tier ones. If you want to, you got to go deeper. You could go to the Logan Thomases of the world. That one's a good one as well. I don't love the Washington offense, but again, somebody's got to score the points to get the and get the targets. Ravens are a tough defense.
There though. You go. And there she is telling you how to get that biscuit. I love it. Cynthia, always a good time with you, my friend. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday. Be safe. Scary times right now. By all means, enjoy week 4.
Yes, you too. Stay safe and healthy.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.